You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Winner take all, San Francisco tonight, Dodgers and the Giants. Ron Darling, who's going to be on the call for that game, will join us a little bit later on. And Buccaneers at the Eagles. Eagles a 7-point home dog. Got some information that I was just handed. This is from the Washington Post. Washington football team offered money in exchange for public silence about the workplace. Former employees say that the Washington football team, according to lawyers representing the Washington football team, offered a financial settlement this year in exchange for the silence of female former team employees who alleged they endured sexual harassment while working there. According to two former employees, that no specific figure was discussed. The offer was expected to be disrespectfully low. But now you have pressure being placed on the Washington football team and the NFL to release those 650,000 emails. Mike Florio had something that says sponsors of the league are now being asked to pressure the NFL to release the emails obtained through the recent workplace investigation. A letter from various former employees of the organization of the chief executives of Verizon, Anheuser-Busch, Amazon, Pepsi, Nike, and Procter & Gamble urges these companies to demand the NFL reveal the results of an investigation into one of the biggest scandals of the Me Too era. Florio goes on to write that according to this letter, we do not understand why the NFL seems intent on protecting Dan Snyder and the Washington football team at all cost. And the letter continues, that is why we call on you. While the NFL has refused to heed the calls for transparency and accountability from former Washington football team employees, advocacy groups, lawyers, or the media, it will have to heed such a call from its corporate sponsors. If the league has shown us anything, money and only money talks, according to Mike Florio. Well, things got a little warmer there, feels like. I just want answers here. I think that I speak for a lot of people that it doesn't make sense. You want to fire John Gruden? Fire John Gruden. But I don't think you could have a holier-than-thou environment with the Washington football team. Not with 650,000 email. And from what I'm told, there's a whole lot more that is coming out, or at least could come out. What direction the investigation will go in, not sure. But there's a lot of nervous people in the building with the Washington football team. Yeah, Seton.
I'm not sure how companies like that react to the words transparency and accountability, but I'm going to guess that like the Verizons and Amazons of the world, they're like, we actually are not in favor of those things. So yeah, we're going to go ahead and keep sponsoring.
We're in favor of you being transparent, just not us. Don't ask us to, you want to look into our emails?
Wait, you want, so we want everything? No, why don't we just go ahead and keep them private?
Yes, boy.
Just to give you a backdrop of how sponsors can wag the dog, in July 2nd of 2020, Federal Express, FedEx, wrote a letter to the Washington Redskins at the time. Owner Daniel Snyder said, drop the name or we will consider dropping you. Within 2 weeks, They were no longer the Washington Redskins. Within 2 weeks of that letter being delivered.
Yeah, I don't know how this pressure is applied and how firmly they want to apply that pressure and how the NFL reacts. Because for some reason, the NFL is protecting the Washington football team and Dan Snyder. But also all the other owners. I mean, this is what Roger Goodell, that's his job. He takes the heat. He takes the slings and arrows. But that's why he makes $45 million a year. He's protecting the other owners. Everything's good. Ratings are up. Added a 17th game. Super Bowl in Los Angeles. Couldn't be better. And normally they blow right through this stop sign. Every time there's a stop sign. It's not a red light. It's a stop sign. Sometimes they ease to a complete stop. Sometimes it'll go right through it. And that's what it feels like will happen here as well. Yeah, Paul.
I think you're right. It's like the NFL's and the Washington Redskins back in the day, their motto was ignore and plow through and let football take care of it. You know, if you just wait till Saturday, we move on to the games.
I don't know. The email, I think there's this reaction of, yeah, you can fire John Gruden. But why was he the focus of the investigation? Why was he the collateral damage of an investigation into a workplace environment that was terrible? Like, nobody else got in trouble? John Gruden wasn't sending the topless pictures of the cheerleaders. They were being sent to him. He didn't work for the team. Once again, I'd love for the commissioner to answer questions. He doesn't have to answer, you know, with me directing those questions. But these are things that I think that are just common sense of, help us understand this. You want to fire John Gruden, or somebody had it out for John Gruden. John Gruden said mean things about you in emails. Somebody found those emails. They leaked them. Do you want to know who leaked them? Are you okay with them leaking them? Like, if the commissioner said, hey, I'm really disappointed that somebody in our office leaked this, because right now it doesn't seem like he has a problem with it. Hey, somebody leaked it. John Gruden got fired. All right. He said some mean things about me. I don't know. Doesn't make sense, unless it does make sense that you wanted John Gruden out of football. If that's the case, job well done. And I don't know if we're going to get access to those emails here. I do know that there's a lot in there. There has to be, just using common sense here. For a decade, 650,000 emails. Who was sending stuff to John Gruden? Bruce Allen? Okay, he worked there. Maybe Jay Gruden, John's brother, who worked there? Are they being held accountable? Who's still with the Washington football team that might be held accountable? Maybe the owner. Like and plus he shifted the ownership to his wife, I think. Like that'll throw him off the trail, the scent. Wait, who's the owner? Not me. Well, who is? My wife. Talk to her. Okay. Oh, boy. Sunday Night Football. It'll be the Seahawks going to Pittsburgh battle the Steelers and T.J. Watt Sunday at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock.
Do you think at dinner, Daniel Snyder's like, really stepped in one this time, honey? I don't know how you're going to get out of it, but
you and your team.
Yeah. Good luck with the team. He's like so smug.
Yeah. I'm going to be in the French Riviera. But
really got yourself in a pickle here with the team, huh, hon? How are you going to handle it?
Told you ownership's tough.
Yeah, you wanted to be an owner.
Well, all right, I'm late for my Pilates. See you later.
Yeah. What's the poll question today, McLovin?
So we had up, what's the most exciting game 7? NHL ran away with it, beating NBA and MLB. Bucks, Eagles tonight. I have a poll question for you.
Okay.
Not who's going to win, but how many touchdowns will Tom Brady throw? Okay. The Vegas over-under is 2.5. I feel like he is about to torch my Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, 2.5. I'm going to take the under.
What is going on? Why are you bearish on the Bucks tonight?
I don't know.
And I mean bearish as in non-good quarterback play, bear.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Took a shot. Did you see where Aaron Rodgers couldn't name the quarterbacks he's faced with the Chicago Bears? He's like, I think he named four of them. Yeah, Paulie.
To be fair, many of us Bears fans have blocked out a lot of the names. It's like a dead part in our minds.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent there with the Chicago Bears. All right, I'll take the... but that's not a poll question. That's just an opinion.
Yeah, I'm just... I'm very nervous about tonight because I feel like my Eagles could be embarrassed tonight, but I guess nobody really has any expectations for them to do anything else.
And the Eagles get 7 points. Anybody calling for the upset here? No.
You were hinting at it before the show.
I was hinting. But I don't feel like I did with the Bengals over the Packers. Because I thought that the Bengals were going to beat the Packers. I'm going to take the Eagles to cover. Entertainment purposes only. Anytime I make a prediction, then somebody, if they lose or I lose the prediction, they're like, oh, yeah, great prediction. Like, nobody ever gives you money when they win, if you have a good prediction. When you lose, then they're mad at you. Entertainment purposes only. I might even buy a half a point here with the Eagles. Give me 7.5 coming up tonight. All right, we'll get some phone calls here. Chris Mannix will join us. The Kyrie Irving situation, we touched on it in the first hour of the program. And right now, he is on the outside looking in, but he'll be able to play on the road or get paid on the road, I should say. He loses around $17 million for not playing at home, but makes about $17 million for playing on the road. John in Montana joins us. Hi, John. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. 5'10", about 180. First-time caller. Hey, I wanted to chime in on the Kyrie situation. I am frankly blown away with the way that this is being covered in sports talk. You know, you're right, it's not about politics, but to me it's about honesty. I am not a Kyrie Irving fan, but I got his back on this one. The vaccine isn't about preventing the contraction or the spread of the virus. It's about lessening symptoms. But that's the narrative. It's either you keep your teammates or those that are close to you safe by getting the vaccine, which isn't necessarily true. And it's also a narrative of availability for the team. But if you remember, whenever everyone was blasting Cam Newton earlier, right before the football season, and then the first week of the season, Zach Martin for Dallas had to sit out because he contracted COVID and he had the vaccine. And if I remember correctly, they lost that game. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. I'm not sure what John's point was, but I still think you owe it to your teammates. If you're going to be part of a team, then that means as a team, we decided to do this. This is our business. When we go to work, this is what we need to do. The NBA is asking us to do this. Does it prevent COVID? No. Does it lessen the symptoms? It does, or at least it appears to. And it's not, you know, that you're around a bunch of 20 and 30 year old and, you know, incredibly in shape people. It's the other people. Those assistant coaches aren't 20. The people work in the office that travel with you. This isn't just about 12 or 13 guys. It's more than that. Mark in Louisville. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Dan. My comment and question is on that same topic about those that are in the front office and not his teammates. Kyrie's vaccination status isn't going to lessen his chance to give it to them or enhance it. It really just protects himself. So whether he's vaccinated or not doesn't change the fact that he can still give it to somebody in the home office that's not a teammate.
But this is a city mandate, Mark. This isn't the Nets. This is a city of New York mandate. The Nets didn't make up this rule. If he played in New Jersey, he'd be fine. This is about the city of New York. Okay? I mean, this isn't the Nets mandate. This is the city of New York. Chase in Charlotte. Hi, Chase.
Yeah, what's going on, bud?
Hey, bud.
Long time, second time caller. Mm-hmm. And I want to apologize, first of all, to Marvin to mislead him, but I knew I wouldn't get on the air without misleading him. Why haven't you mentioned Adam Schefter today?
Why do I care about Adam Schefter?
Well, I think it's pretty big news as a journalist. Wouldn't you agree or disagree?
Well, I'm not involved in it. You know, if ESPN's got to hold his feet to the fire, not me. I don't care how Schefter conducts his business. Like, there's a lot of guys who conduct their business that if you found out how they conduct their business, you might be like, oh, whoa, okay. But you know what? He issued a statement. He apologized for that. But no,
But it's part of the 650,000 emails that we're going over and over and over on as a cumulative sports fan. So why wouldn't we mention that?
It was mentioned. It was brought to light. It was mentioned yesterday. But what do you want me to do? Stop listening to Adam Schefter or demanding that ESPN fire him or hold his feet to the fire?
Well, no, I just want your take because, I mean, I would have thought you would have mentioned it. It's just, I'm just curious.
I did
because,
yesterday.
I mean, I listen to you every day, and I mean, you're my guy. And I was just, you know, sometimes I disagree with you. And on this one, you haven't mentioned it all day. What are we protecting? Are we protecting our our sources? What's going on?
It was yesterday's story, Chase. I mentioned it yesterday. It's yesterday's story. Like, I don't know what you want me to do with Adam Schefter here. Schefter is not the first guy who has gotten information and then checked with a source. Now, it's a lot more commonplace than you think, but Schefter got burned here. And you're asking Bruce Allen to comment or at least edit your report on, you know, something that's going to come out on ESPN. And we don't go easy on Schefter. I mean, I called him out with what happened with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And I even asked him that there was no report on draft night. So you can't sit here and go, boy, you're taking care of Adam Schefter. I called him out. I said he didn't have a story. He was worried somebody else was going to break the story. That's it. But I'm not here to... Look, I got enough bleep to worry about with the show here and what we do than worry about Adam Schefter and the journalistic integrity. Now, he's an insider. That means somebody gives you information and you pass it on. How you get that information? How do you think this happens in the real world? when you're dealing with life and death or criminals and you know, the people you get that information from or how you get that information. I know this isn't life or death. He did bounce it off Bruce Allen. Journalistically, I think it's wrong. Would I do it? No. Yes, Eden.
I appreciate the covertness, though, of getting that topic on the air.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to lie to Marvin, but just must get through.
I get it.
Like, I have to ask about yesterday's news.
Yes.
I was so relieved. Usually people lie to Marvin so they can call for a Danette to be fired. Yeah. That's the most common lie to Marvin.
Now, I get, you know.
What's with Schefter? I don't know. Who cares?
Like, what do you want done?
What a relief.
What do you want done to Schefter? Do I think it's, you know, the wrong way to do a story with somebody who's in the story or affected by the story, and you're going to run the story by them? Yes, I do. My personal opinion, it's not something I would do. Yes, Eden.
Yep. Really almost got that one.
Yes, Paulie.
I don't want to get into it. I know we got a break. But like what Schefter was doing, he didn't reveal a story to the subject of the story. He was using NFL sources to walk him through a lot of this, players union stuff and mediation, and he goes, hey, am I getting this right here? That is somewhat commonplace in the journalism industry. Yeah. That you don't show it to a subject of a story.
Yes.
But a source of a story, you may. If you were doing a story about USA Soccer and you ran it past Landon Donovan, a retired USA Soccer player, say, hey, Landon, do I have this right? And he gave you tips. That's not compromising the story. You didn't yield control of the story.
And I will do that with the source. I've done that. I did that with Baker Mayfield. I went through a source and I said, hey, and this is a source with the Browns. And I said, hey, I want you to, you know, steer me. If I'm right, then let me know. If I'm wrong, let me know. And all I did was I wanted to clarify if the Browns were taking Baker Mayfield. That was it. And this person wasn't involved in the story per se. And I just said, hey, I'm going with Baker Mayfield's going to be taken by the Browns number one. And I said, you know, am I wrong here? Let me know. And he said, you're on the right path. So the other source that I had on it was telling me the truth. I just wanted to make sure that I had, you know, if I could get two sources, I got two sources. Yes.
What really gets Adam Schefter is Mr. Editor.
That bothered me.
That's a problem.
Yes, that bothered me.
That's a real problem.
Yes. But look, Schefter apologized. I don't know what you want. You know? I gave you my thoughts on it. It was yesterday's story. He talked about it. We talked about it. We move on. Yes, Todd.
And he wasn't asking permission to run it. You know, I know it said Mr. Editor. You know, if he's trying to get his facts straight and get some legalese right and have it basically something proofread, that's a lot different than, are you okay if I run with this story?
All right, let me go. We're late here. We'll talk to Chris Mannix. He'll join us coming up next here, Dan Patrick Show. Oh, when you get finished golfing, lifting weights, running around the neighborhood, your body doesn't recover the way it used to. And it's all about sore muscles, post-workout discomfort, and popping up in new spots all the time when you get older. So Level Select CBD, sports creams, and roll-ons come to the rescue. I think I'm going to need it after today's show. It's good enough for pros like Carson Palmer, Ricky Fowler, and Steve Garvey. It's good enough for me. I trust Level Select CBD because it's formulated with doctors. There's a high concentration of CBD, allows me to feel it work immediately. And I know it's made with 0% THC. I apply Level Select sports creams directly to those sore spots, and then you let that proprietary blend of CBD go to work, and it goes to work in about 30 seconds. Go to levelselectcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP30. That means $30 off your entire order today. $30 off. levelselectcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP30. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. LevelSelectCBD.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Call in. Marvin answers the calls. Be polite to him. You may have a problem with what I've said, then you can say it on the air, but don't say anything to Marvin. Marvin's just doing his job, okay? Doing it great. And so I went back there and I said, Marvin, what are you doing? He goes, they keep tricking me. I said, that's okay. You know, I don't know what Chase and Charlotte thought I was going to say about Adam Schefter. I mean, I'm not the judge and jury. And if you want more emails to come out and expose all of this hypocrisy, great. I don't care. He works for ESPN. He doesn't work for me. How I go about getting information or who I bounce something off of, that's how I've done it for the last 40 years. Adam does it his way, and he is very, very successful and well compensated. Got a problem? Call ESPN. All right. Get Chris Mannix in here, Sports Illustrated. You sure you want to join us, Mannix?
I consider myself medium successful and mildly compensated. We go with that.
Yeah, sure. How's boxing, by the way? You, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder, are we going to see a part four?
No, okay. No, we won't see a part four. I think in Tyson Fury's mind, in the mind of everybody, he settled it. That was the second time he has battered and beaten Deontay Wilder. But that was probably the best fight I've ever attended live. I mean, that was... 2 6-foot-7-plus heavyweights bombing away at each other over the course of 11 rounds. It was incredibly gripping, and it proves, Dan, something I've often said, that when boxing's at the highest level and fought like that, there's almost no sport better than it. Like I've been to a lot of places and a lot of atmospheres. That was right up there with the best atmospheres I've ever experienced.
Okay, what's next for Tyson Fury?
Well, he's probably going to have to defend his title in a mandatory challenge against a guy named Dillian White, who is a very good top five guy over in the UK. It's a pretty big fight over in the UK. They might be able to sell out a indoor soccer stadium or an arena of some kind. They'll do a big number. And then he'll face the winner of Anthony Joshua against Alexander Usyk, the rematch, which will take place in the first quarter of 2022, and that fight will be for the first undisputed championship that we've had in probably 20 years since Lennox Lewis held all those belts. So it was a big night last weekend for Tyson Fury, and 2022 could be even bigger.
Where, you know, we love to rank these heavyweights, and usually it's not somebody from the last 25 years who gets included in there, but how does Tyson Fury get into that big list of great heavyweights of all time, or is he already there?
I think he's making his way up that list. I know it's sacrilegious to suggest that a Tyson Fury could handle a Muhammad Ali or a George Foreman from back in his prime or Joe Frazier, but one thing Tyson Fury does that so far in this era, no fighter's been able to figure out, and I'm not sure who would figure out in that era, is he leans on you. And one of his tactics is to take that huge 6'9", 277-pound frame in the early rounds, get close, and then lean on you. So you are literally carrying him over the course of the fight. He did it to Deontay Wilder dozens of times in that fight. That's why after the third round, into the fifth and sixth, you saw Deontay Wilder sitting on that stool longer than Tyson Fury was, for sure, right until the very second that bell rang. That's because Fury just drapes that body over you and makes you hold him up. He knows how to sap your energy. And I don't know. I don't know how guys would deal with it. You know, he's just so big and so long that I don't know how a guy from any era would be able to handle that type of tactic.
Yeah, I remember with Lennox Lewis, he was just so big and had such reach. That's why Mike Tyson never wanted to fight him, because he knew he would lose, because yep. Lennox Lewis was bigger and knew how to box better than Mike did. But Tyson Fury, he looks like, because of his dad bod, he gets into the ring and you go, man, he's going to get pounded. And then the next thing you know, like, he doesn't look like the baddest man on the planet when he gets into the ring.
No, and he was criticized early in his career for not being a power puncher. I don't know how a guy 6'9", 277 cannot be powerful. Like, that doesn't really jive with me. One thing about him is that he's been boxing, you know, as he likes to say, since he was, you know, out of the womb. Like, he comes from a fighting family, and he has been boxing for an incredibly long time. So he is as skilled as any heavyweight that I've ever seen, and uses every tool that he has in the toolbox in all of these fights. I mean, you know, Tyson Fury, to his credit, doesn't like to compare himself to fighters from other eras, doesn't like to say, oh, I beat fighter X, fighter Y, fighter Z, but when you have a guy that size that can do the things he does, and it's not accidental, it's a tactic, it's a strategy. When you have guys that big that can do what he can do, it's just very hard to see pathways for people to beat him.
He's Chris Mannix. He covers boxing, obviously, and the NBA for Sports Illustrated, senior NBA writer. What was Kyrie Irving saying last night?
You know, I have watched that 20-minute video 4.5 times, maybe. At this point, I'm not really sure what he was saying. He's saying he's not retiring. Okay, that's somewhat of news, because I, you know, that was citing him in the water supply a little bit. But I'm still not sure why he's not being vaccinated. Is he not being vaccinated because he's anti-vaccine and he doesn't trust it? Is he not being vaccinated because he's trying to be some kind of man of the people, to stand up for the people that are losing their jobs because of these vaccine mandates? I can tell you, just talking to a couple of people within the Nets organization after Kyrie put that was an aggravating video to some people in Brooklyn, because he really didn't answer any of the questions that people have about his reasoning for not getting the vaccine, and he gave no real timetable for when he might come to a decision to make a return. So they are operating blindly on the future of Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I wondered when he said, the only part that stood out where, you know, there's no follow-up questions, is he was given permission. Who gave him permission, and what did they give him permission to do or not do?
I don't know what. I mean, he's given permission by the NBA not to get vaccinated. I mean, I guess that's one way of framing it. You know, Kyrie clearly, I mean, the New York City mandate clearly took Kyrie by surprise, because, you know, Kyrie's an influential member of the players' union, and he's a big reason, or one of the reasons at least, that the union didn't go for vaccine mandates when the NBA pushed it. So Kyrie went into the offseason thinking he could do his thing. He'd be subject to these protocols, which are insane, by the way. I know a number of players that got vaccinated just to avoid having to basically be a second-class citizen within your locker room and within your team. But he went into the offseason thinking, if I go through this, then I don't have to get vaccinated. Then the city of New York steps in. They say no exemption for him. And I think that's really thrown Kyrie over the last month. I think for a while, he believed that, you know, something would happen, something would change, and he would get vaccinated. And I'll be honest, Dan, the New York law doesn't make a lot of sense, mostly because on October 25th, Bradley Beal is going to come to Barclays and play. Like, visiting players are not subject to this mandate by the city. Now, I don't really get why Bradley Beal or Jonathan Isaac or any of the other players that are publicly unvaccinated are allowed to play, but Kyrie Irving is. So I think Kyrie thought all along it was eventually going to work out in his favor. It hasn't. It doesn't look like it's going to. Eric Adams, the presumptive next mayor of New York, has not commented publicly on what he will do if and when he takes office. So this is a situation Kyrie's going to have to deal with for the foreseeable future.
But he's not going to get paid playing at home, and he will get paid for playing on the road or not playing, you know, joining the team on the road. Do I have that
correct? Yeah, so the Nets can't this is the Nets' decision to basically send him away. It's Sean Marks, it's Josiah, who have decided it's not tenable, and I understand that, to have Kyrie participating in practices but only playing in just under half the games of the season. He can't play at Barclays. He can't play at Madison Square Garden. That's two more games added on to that. So he'll get just under half of his salary, which I believe is between $15 and $16 million for this season if he doesn't play.
You got an opinion on the Lakers so far in preseason? Feels like everybody does.
Well, it's not good. but the question is, like, we got to pump the brakes on the Lakers, though. Like, it's going to be well after Christmas, I think, before we can make any kind of sweeping judgment. Not that I'm not prone to do that anyway, but I think it's going to be after Christmas before we can make any judgment with the Lakers. They're just, you know, they're down Ariza. Hey, Taylor Horton Tucker hurt a lot worse. I was talking to Frank Vogel about this a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, Horton Tucker was probably going to be a starter with that team, and they were counting on him to take on the responsibility of defending the best wing player on an opposing team. So that's a big loss for them to see him go out for whatever it's going to be, 4 to 6 weeks with that thumb injury. I think they're going to have a lot of problems early on. They might start the season 5-7, you know, 15-16, something like that. But, you know, after Christmas, when everybody gets healthy and everybody kind of figures out kind of what their roles are with the team, that's when I want to see what this Laker team looks like. I'm still not a huge believer in going to get Russ and not going to get going to go up to Sacramento to make that deal for Buddy Hield, but I don't think you can judge them until we get well past the midway point of the season.
Do you want to join me on the Golden State bandwagon again?
You're predicting championship? What does the bandwagon look like?
Well, there's plenty of seats, but well, I'm going Western Conference Finals.
Ooh. I mean, you're obviously believing Klay Thompson looks like Klay Thompson when he comes back.
Yes.
I'm not so sure in year one he's going to do that. I mean, I was talking to this coach about Klay last week, and the one thing he said was, like, look, Klay's going to come back. He's going to be shooting the ball great. But what made Klay such a huge impact player for that team was his ability to, you know, pump fake you and go off the dribble and make shots. Is he going to have the same bounce in year one coming off those two injuries? And defensively, he was a high-level defensive guy for that team during his best years. That's probably going to suffer because he's trying to come back from this injury. It's pure speculation at this point because we don't know what Klay looks like, but I don't see him being more than 75-80% of the player he was. And if that's the case, the West is so good that I don't see Golden State getting there.
All right. Yeah, just throwing it out there.
It's a nice bandwagon to be on. It's better than, you know, some of the bandwagons I've jumped on over the years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's plenty of room, though. Plenty of room on the Golden State bandwagon. Hey, it's great to talk to you again, buddy. Thank you. Safe travels.
You got it, Dan.
That's Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated, NBA senior writer.
You got it, Dan.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on talking boxing, but he went to the fight. He covered the fight, and you know it was a spectacular fight. I just think we're down on boxing, heavyweights in general, because it used to be that's where you started with boxing. You started with the heavyweight division, then you worked your way down, and that's not the case. It's almost like you eventually work your way up to or down to the heavyweight division. And having been, gosh, I go back to Jerry Cooney, when he was fighting Larry Holmes. I mean, I was fortunate to have covered boxing because I was in New York on and off for 5 years covering New York area sports. And I was able to go to a lot of those fights. So many. And, you know, I met Tyson in 1986. I mean, Vito Anafirmo. Like, there's so many. You know, with Sugar Ray Leonard, went to Sugar Ray Leonard's first retirement in Baltimore. He had six retirements, by the way. Roberto Duran, Alexis Arguello, Aaron Pryor. I mean, I was lucky to be around. When you went to a fight, it was a fight. It wasn't one of those, man, that was a great fight. Like, every fight was a great fight. It was, sometimes you got those fights where you went, that's an all-time great. But I did go to Tyson fights. You know, I went to Michael Spinks, and I can't really call it a fight. And Marvis Frazier, I can't really call that a fight either. That's where you go, this is going to hurt. You know when you get paddled in grade school, at least if you're old enough to remember, it's going to hurt. You just want it over with. And it felt like those poor guys got in the ring, and they just went, God, this is going to hurt. But it'll be over quickly. And it was. Yeah, Paul.
The past few years, the middleweight and lower weight divisions are still pretty good with Alvarez and Golovkin and Lomachenko. Guys like that are still pretty famous. But it just hasn't translated to the heavyweight, really.
Because the heavyweight, when you were the heavyweight champ, there was something about that. You were a household name, just like the fastest man in the world. When you were the fastest, and Usain Bolt is, but usually we had somebody from the United States. Like, you were the fastest man in the world, and you were the heavyweight champ of the world. Like, those things still, they carried cachet, value there. Let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. We'll look at a little closer at the Giants and the Dodgers, winner take all, and also the Buccaneers and the Eagles. That's coming up tonight as well. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A few moments ago, it's mostly defensive on their part. Here's Ware! It's in! Timothy Ware celebrates. It may go down as an own goal because it came off the post onto the keeper and in. But who cares a jot about that if you're wearing the red, the white, and the blue?
Team USA beats Costa Rica 2-1 World Cup qualifier. Courtesy of ESPN FC. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. That's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report limitations apply. Yes, Paul?
One of the things I love about soccer is when the defender or the goalkeeper knocks it in his own goal, an own goal, the person who last hit the ball on the offensive team always tries to celebrate to get credit for it because you want credit for it. But it's funny, like, they yell, own goal, but the guy who shot it is running around like a madman trying to get credit for the goal.
We were wondering about this. Joe Burrow had a throat contusion in that loss to the Green Bay Packers, and he's not supposed to talk. So no talking for a week. Todd, you couldn't do that.
I definitely could not do that. That would be a problem. I would re-aggravate whoever poked me in the throat, and I would just be on the DL for a while.
Yeah, but you're not, and you're a quarterback, so he's got to rest his vocal cords.
I don't know how he can do that.
It might be refreshing, though. No,
for me to not talk about.
Well, no, I wasn't saying you.
It sounded kind of like you were.
It did.
Can we get you a throat contusion somehow?
But there have been shows where I've said it like relatively nothing, and when I do talk, we all say I'm not saying really much.
So, Todd's here.
Yeah, McLovin, would you punch Todd in the throat, give him a throat contusion?
Can we get you?
Violence is what you're promoting, right?
So Todd, I know can't last. Who would be the person? I famously don't talk after the show. When I'm done, I'm done, and I don't want to talk anymore. Even around dinner time, my wife or kids are like, you okay? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, everything's good. I'm just listening. I don't want to talk anymore. Yeah, Paul.
I don't think I could do it. Like, I'll be watching the TV in a game, and I'll yell at the TV when I'm all alone, so I can't even control that part of it. I don't even need people. That'd be tough. 5 days?
Yeah, a week would be, that's a long time. And then you can't even do the, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? You got to have total silence.
I'm pretty comfortable not speaking to anyone for long stretches of time. I've got to be honest with you. I'm pretty good with not talking.
See, we prefer when people aren't talking to us.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I just and he just point to the throat and be like, I can't do it. Sorry. Yeah.
Todd, do you think you could do it for a week?
No. The only way I could do it is, but even then, I don't know if I could. It's like, as long as you can type stuff and draw things and write things on a, and hold it up on a sign, if you really have to get a message across.
How about if I took up a collection from the audience?
Oh, so what would be the amount of money that would make me agree to that?
A GoFundMe?
A GoFundMe. Yes, McClellan.
All right. I think I'm the only decent small talker here. If I wasn't in this room
what does that mean?
Todd, Seton, and Paul would say 0.0 words together for a one-year span. I've noticed that before. I'm the only one who water cooler talks. I'm like, hey, did you watch that show last night? The three of them? Nothing.
Well,
they're very quiet.
I talk to Seton every single morning.
You after the show. I'm talking about after the show.
Oh, after the show. I'm done.
And the other guys are like kind of like that, too. It's not. I noticed when I first started working, it's not a chatty office.
Well, usually when we start talking, it turns into a debate or something. It turns into some kind of argument or like, oh, are you sure about that? Are you 100% sure that's exactly the reason why this is happening? And you're like, oh, my God, I'd rather just sit here quietly.
I just walk out. There are times when I hear a discussion and I just walk out and I don't even say anything. It's like,
you are not a small talker after the show.
No, I'm not.
That's the best is, though, you'd make that walk, and as soon as the door opens up, Todd is like, hey, Dan, so I wanted to run some guest by.
Oh, he loves
that. And you just keep walking right out the door. He's like, hey, so what do you think about Adam Schefter? Okay, I guess not.
Yeah.
you just keep walking.
And I tried to tell Todd, imagine you get up from a big meal, and the first thing somebody asks you is, hey, what do you want to have for dinner tomorrow? You're just not thinking that. Yes. Yeah,
but the problem is that Todd will try to do it before the show, and Paul's just like, no, save it for after the show. And then after the show, he tries to ask you, and you're like, can't you do this later?
No.
And we sort of always kick Todd's can down the road somewhere until it's, 8:55 before the show, and it's like, so are we going to have anybody on today?
No.
Oh, my God.
I'm better in the afternoon. I am. But not right away. Yes, Paul.
We call it the drive-by meeting because you walk and you just keep walking right out the door.
Yeah.
And Todd's going, and then we
like a lot of dead ends. Paul is like, just talk to Dan about it if you have a guest idea. But he just entertained the nation for 3 hours and he's looking at me like, don't even think about asking me about it.
Can't you ask Paul? I mean,
I know.
Paul's working out, doing triceps, so he's out the edge, is working out with him. Seton's doing his thing. So I'm like, I'll just,
Todd will get
the
Paul will be like, why aren't we having Adam Schefter on today? Okay, I'll book Adam Schefter. And you'll be like, why do we have Adam Schefter on?
That was yesterday's news. How does that fit? Why in the first hour when we got Kyrie and
the dude's always chasing his tail? It's kind of funny to watch.
Very healthy for my blood pressure.
I need you to wait about 3 hours after the show.
Got to set up my alarm for like 3:23 p.m. Eastern or something.
Yeah, but you book the guest and then your job is done. My job starts when you book the guest. You know how that works?
I don't know if that's the only thing I contribute to the show, putting a couple of names on a board. I hope you see that there's a little more to what I do here after 20 years.
Let's go through all the things you do on the show.
Should be noted, Andrew started this.
Yeah, why did you do that?
No. You guys started by saying, Todd, you wanted to give Todd a throat contusion to have him stop small talking, which is funny because if there's no women in the room, he won't talk for about a month.
Very accurate.
The cleaning lady comes in and he's like,
I do. I like
Todd only talks on Thursdays.
Yes, when the cleaning lady comes in.
And I have a small window because when she starts doing her thing, I can't. I'm not going to interrupt.
She's trying to clean. You see, the mortgage rates are up half a point.
Yeah. How far is your commute? Yeah. Okay.
And I hope she's not getting paid by the hour because what would take 3 or 4 hours becomes like 7 hours because you got to factor in the conversation.
If I brought in a guy to clean, you wouldn't say anything.
I maybe would tip my cap or nod in his direction. Yeah. Maybe.
All right. Final hour coming up. We've covered a lot today. But we have to dive into the Giants and the Dodgers. Ron Darling will be on the call. Yes, Tom.
What do you want to have on Friday? I know we still have an hour left in this show, but I had a couple ideas. Can we talk about it during the break?
One more item. We close out hour two. There's a new app that can save you time and money, and it's easier to manage your investments. It's called the Stifel Wealth Tracker app. You spell Stifel, S-T-I-F-E-L. When it comes to managing your investments, knowing where you stand is really half the battle. Stifel Wealth Tracker lets you build your personal balance sheet. You can track your net worth over time, and you can securely link all your financial accounts using bank-level encryption and monitor how your investments are performing in one place. It's really simple. Stifel Wealth Tracker also gives you direct access to Stifel's award-winning equity research, investment strategy views, and a whole lot more. Stifel's been helping clients managing their investments for over 130 years. When you need professional guidance, you can use Stifel Wealth Tracker connect with a Stifel financial advisor. Get the help you need. The Stifel Wealth Tracker, absolutely free. You can get it at the App Store, Google Play, or stifel.com/tracker, STIFEL.com/tracker.